Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's now time for News Headlines with Molly
on a Big Party Show on Channel 941.
Well, a man accused of crashing into two people on the interstate in early December has been ticketed. Omaha police have cited the man for four charges, including not having a driver's license. Police say he was driving too fast for the snowy road conditions when he slammed into two men while they were unloading items out of their broken down car.
Remember, one guy lost two legs, the other guy lost another.
Oh,
they said
that's
if
right.
It weren't for a bystander who'd had military background putting tourniquets on the guys.
Tourniquet on him. That's right.
Probably would have been worse. Jeez. What an awful...
Yeah.
That was another one of those just bummer ends to 2016 where you're just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And police put out a warning before the holiday party season that if you drink and drive, that you'll face consequences. Well, the Omaha Police Department has released numbers from their You Drink, You Drive, You Lose enforcement, saying they made 19 more DUI arrests this year than last year. Total of 57. So hopefully that means that people are being safer out there than, well, I don't know.
I didn't think a New Year's Uber was so impossible to get.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, we took one. I don't remember.
You kind of paused for a little bit there.
Didn't
No, I absolutely took one. I just don't remember how long it took to get there.
Well, we were at a party.
Yeah.
You know, we were at a wedding reception, so we could, you know, go when it showed up.
After,
but I'm saying they weren't real... I thought it was going to be some nightmarish scenario.
So did
on
I.
New Year's Eve, and they
you...
got a little bit smoother this year, it seems, than last year.
Yeah, it seemed like it was there instantly. And it wasn't overpriced.
They usually are. Man, they're usually there, like between, you know, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
In fact, the dilemma a lot of times with Uber is they're there, or Lyft, they're there too soon.
That was the case, I felt like, on New Year's Eve, but I think everyone wanted me to leave. From what I can remember.
I was going to say, this is an oscillating story of memory and no memory. I mean, it's like, did I take an Uber? But it got there so quickly.
It was a wedding of fun, that's for sure.
Oh, my gosh. You didn't want to remember any 2016. Of course, this was new 2017.
Yeah.
This was just the
reboot.
The newly born minutes of 2017.
2017 here in Nebraska has residents paying more to refuel their vehicles and purchase items online. The state's gas tax increased by 1.5 cents per gallon with the start of the new year. And also starting on Sunday, the online retailer Amazon began collecting sales tax here in Nebraska. They also started collecting in Iowa, Louisiana, and Utah, but the online sales tax was already required in the state. Amazon just hadn't previously collected the fee, but one report says that by getting the Amazon taxes sales, it could be an extra $18 million
a year
for the state.
Everybody's broke. This is the first time that we raised that gas tax since 2008.
Okay.
And seven states raised it as well, including Iowa.
Which is usually the price
raise that they people are. If you're yelping that we raised ours 6 cents, Iowa raised theirs 10.
Oh wow!
But everyone's in the same shape. People need
they need the dome.
Well, I mean, the gas tax is supposed to go toward roads and bridges.
Infrastructure is obviously going to be a big ticket item moving forward. I mean, people have been talking about the bridges and the roads. Money's got to come somewhere. Nebraska lawmakers making their way to Lincoln. They're going to start another legislative session tomorrow. It's the first day of the 90-day session. It'll likely be dominated by talks of the budget. I guess lawmakers are also going to go after a large budget deficit and possible reforms to the corrections department. Adjournment is scheduled for early June. And Omaha's first new baby of 2017 happened to be the final baby born at Creighton University Medical Center. Baby Brianna Elaine Reed, she arrived at 12:26 New Year's Day, and they say that the hospital's labor and delivery unit shut down after 40 years of deliveries. The unit is being closed as part of the process of moving the teaching hospital of Creighton to Bergen Mercy Medical Center.
How do you wonder how many babies were born there in those, over 40 years?
40 years, yeah. A lot of sweet little babies. Donald Trump might hold his first post-election press conference January 11th. Mm. That's what the Trump advisor, that Kellyanne Conway, told CNN last night. I guess the president-elect was originally scheduled to answer media questions December 12th, but it was postponed.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything in a while. They're all yawning and screaming.
Instead, Trump has been communicating through tweets, rallies, and the occasional informal appearance before the cameras. So if the January 11th date holds up, it'll be just one day after President Obama is scheduled to give his farewell address in Chicago. And SpaceX says it's ready to launch again now that it's figured out why one of its rockets exploded on the launch pad back in September. Experts from NASA, the FAA, the Air Force, and the NTSB involved in the investigation blame the failure of super cold helium tank.
Yeah, it's weird, though, because you look at the footage and stuff. It's like, this looks like the early days of when we were doing the space race.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah. It would always blow up on the pad.
You bet. Isn't it because we use used stuff?
Well, no, we use old Russian rockets, but it's been in advance.
Okay.
The Russians used to originally, when you'd watch them develop their space program, they blew up all the time and they didn't care.
Yeah.
But that's how they
advanced. They did it.
They finally figured out a very dangerous rocket that eventually got really efficient, and that's what we're using now.
Okay.
We copy their old recipe and make these old ones. But SpaceX, I think it's all their own...
It's all new.
You know, they're trying to make that rocket that launches by itself
and lands.
Yep. Which is so cool. So then they don't lose it. I mean, talk about the, how many billions of dollars that'll save. But this, you know, the blast that happened back in September destroyed a communication satellite worth hundreds of millions of dollars. So obviously there's a price tag to their experiments. French workers now have the right to disconnect. A law went into effect with the new year that gives French employees the legal right to unplug from work emails, smartphones, and other company devices outside of typical office hours. The companies with at least 50 employees will have to set up hours when staffers are not allowed to send or respond to email. French government says that the law is meant to give workers enough time to rest and to allow them to find a balance between work and their personal life.
Yeah, we probably need one here.
Yeah.
Because that's always been the classic one that, you know, work can send you an email like, well, you didn't have to work at it at home, but...
You're like, well, I got it on my...
Many people work basically around the clock.
All the time.
Sure. I mean, a lot of times, you know, people are like, oh, you know, your office gave you a smartphone or gave you a tablet. It's like, well,
Turn it in.
I mean, it's like, it's all, I mean, these are gifts with strings. I mean, now it's like, well, we can always get in touch with you. You had your tablet, didn't you? You had your smartphone on you, right?
I expect you to work and you feel the pressure to work.
Sure.
So my advice is to turn it in. Just be like, I don't want it. What are they going to do?
It's like you're turning into Sally Field. You're standing up in the normal rain. You're standing up. I'm not doing this no more.
Well, I mean, you check. Yeah. We all check work email at home. It's not because we have a device given to us from work.
Yeah.
It's just you on your own check. It's just an American thing or a global thing for a lot of people that around the clock you check work email. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's kind of, we met in the middle. Some people just
do it.
Work at home and their bosses will go, I didn't, get your work done in the 8 hours of your day. But then there's that pressure. It's whatever the relationship between employees and their employer.
Yeah.
So
the French are just now laying down a law that, what, you can't send
emails
after hours.
I mean, that there's basically a time where they're not required to respond. Now, some other parts of, I guess, this package that got passed, it's like a labor law, got passed back in May. So in addition to giving them the right to disconnect, I guess it also includes laws making it easier to fire workers or pay them less for overtime. So there are other, like, you know, business savvy parts of this bill, not just, you know, getting it all four.
But they're showing the French all over the news saying, you know, we work to live. We don't live to work.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people resent the Americans for that supposed, you know, work ethic. They're like, is it a work ethic or are you guys just rats on the wheel?
Rats
running
on the wheel.
Running.
Run.
Tinder can be thanked for breaking the stigma of online dating and making it more accessible for everyone. Now, some people just use Tinder, I guess, as like a hookup. You know, you want to meet somebody. You're not looking for anything long term. But it turns out that people who get together through online dating are statistically more likely to have a happy marriage.
Hey, I remember people back. I mean, we've been around long enough in the dating world, so on and so forth. I remember that was a stigma. People would be like, how'd you guys meet? You're like, you know, who cares now? Mm-hmm. No one cares. I think it's great. Just another avenue.
Yeah.
You know.
I guess people who...
As opposed to what's the competition now? The bus stop?
Yeah. Well, no one's going to
the rotary phone.
Yeah. The phone. Rotary phone.
I guess just meeting people. Same way as, you know, you would through friends or at a bar or out or at work or what have you. I guess, you know, I mean, when you think about it, it makes sense. I mean, if you're meeting somebody online, it's somebody that's been tailored. I mean, they're offering up people that have been tailored to your likes and dislikes, right? I mean,
yeah,
you fill out the whole questionnaire.
They're not, you know, you're like, boom, not interested.
But also, if you meet somebody at a bar, think how long it's been that all you got to do is get a name. And then the next thing, there's a friend request. And everybody does their recon before they go out again or text or chat. Like, no, blind dates aren't really blind anymore, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're going in. I mean, nobody, if somebody's off the grid, that's almost a red flag.
Like it's weird. I find it weird, but you know, I have enough friends that are off the grid.
You get uncomfortable. You're like, "Where's your tracker? Wait a minute. Why? Where's your scan? Where's your scan?" You know, it'll be a girl that's like, "I'm off right now," because that's always a sign they just went through a breakup
or something traumatizing.
And they say they have like a stalker boyfriend. They'll be like, "This guy is like stalking me."
Oh no!
But it is still a weird red flag.
It is.
Oh.
Well, I mean, because even if you've got a stalker boyfriend, you're like, well, how bad is it that you had to go offline? Like, is this guy going to hunt me down now? I mean, I would say
the people I know that are offline are all married, like the husbands. They just don't do it, never have, wasn't interested in it. So as for single people, I find it strange.
Or somebody, you know, in a relationship that's fooling around.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm offline, but I mean, the reality is that, no, they're married with three kids. It's it's just one of those like, hey, for you, I'm unavailable online because I really don't want you to see my family pics from our Christmas vacation to Cabo.
But the meeting online stigma is gone.
Yep.
Yeah. They say deception often occurs online, but they say that people are relatively honest on online dating encounters. The lies tend to be minor misrepresentations of like how tall you are, how much you weigh, you know, maybe how old you are. But by and large, people are really, you know, putting their real selves out there.
Not like back in the day when it would be fake persons.
I know. You become
an old photo from 15 years ago.
Yes, exactly.
I heard tons of nightmare stories from men back then. Yeah.
Meeting up with someone
and they had to sit there, have drinks with somebody that looked completely opposite or different than they perceived, and they had to sit through it.
I guess it still exists. I mean, it depends on how often you... I mean, most people don't update their stuff like...
Right.
I mean, we're only all 25 once.
I mean,
you don't really know if it's just that's a really good picture. The only good picture,
right.
people just don't update it. But people do, you do realize, you'll be like, oh, that's a good picture. And then you look down. When was it? That's 2009?
You're like, why is that the last good picture of you?
Right.
What happened in 2010 that we can't be seeing something newer? I'm just saying.
And some of it is people just don't update their...
They don't.
Their social media, you know,
they're paid.
Like, look, that was a good picture.
Left it alone.
They probably got into a relationship, and a lot of people do absolutely go off the social media grid when they're dating. And then it's like, then they break up or they get divorced and they're like, oh man, it's like getting your resume out. Like, oh.
Dusting that off.
Dude.
That's awful.
You don't want to live in that world.
I got to go hug my husband really hard.
Go hug him.
Go hug him.
Never leave me.
Big Party Show. Big Party Show. The Big Party Show. Channel 94.1.
Hello, who's this?
This is Stacey.
Hi, Stacey. What's up? Thanks for calling.
Yes. Hey, you guys gave me a couple of things to talk about.
The whole Tinder thing, I tried that, and yeah, that definitely was a hookup at the time that it started. And then Facebook, 90% of my dates are from Facebook.
See, I don't know
the
why.
The only thing is,
go ahead.
I just don't change my, oh, I'm sorry, I just don't change my status, because then I get blown up like, wow, well, you didn't give me a chance, and so it's like,
yeah, it's crazy. Like you can't play that game. It's just too weird.
No.
I don't feel like Facebook needs to be a place for status updates. I mean, you put a picture of yourself on a date with somebody and people kind of get the message.
You bet. You bet. Mine's still
the whole kind of relationship is...
I don't do it. I don't know if that's offensive to Wileen or anyone. People have approached me about it. I'm like, I don't feel like Facebook is where I need to tell everybody anything, actually.
I think it just depends on the stuff. I mean, I think that some people feel like that's their way of connecting with the whole world. Like you put people on blast. Like, hey, this is what's going on.
It's your online digital promise ring.
Mm-hmm. Will you Facebook date me? You're like, I don't know. I mean, I remember I got a request from my husband to be, like we're married and like they don't just put that on there. Like they ask you like, this guy's saying you guys are married. Is that for real? You know,
did you deny it or accept it?
There is a Facebook page called Troll Bashing. And anytime that someone will send, you know, like naughty pics of themselves or, hey, you know, let's hook up and yet their status says they're married. That's just an opportunity to say, hey, this guy's been hitting on me. Bam, you're on Troll Bashing. And I've even had to tell married guys that, hey, bring your wife if you really want to go on a date with me because, you know, this is not happening. So, yeah, I get hit on by married men all the time, and it gets frustrating. So.
But is it worth it? Like, are the landmines are still worth the good stuff, right? I think it's just the dating world always had perils.
Oh, yeah. It's it's a gamble, I think. But, you know, it is what it is anymore.
And yeah.
To me, as a single woman, I think it's unfair that married men feel the need that they should be creeping on single women. And I've chewed several married men out saying, you know what, this is not fair. You already got somebody, and yet you're creeping on my page and asking me out. Really? Why don't you give the single guys a chance?
Well, I think guys just need to flirt, though. Don't people feel the need to flirt, whether it's ethical, right or wrong? You're trying to feel like you still got it. And I'm sure married people feel bored. Because there's married women that flirt.
Oh, you're damn right they do.
I don't know if
she's asking for it.
I don't think anybody would call them out on it.
Oh, I do.
Wow.
It's just frustrating because, you know, I'm 45 and I've been single majority of my life. And
really? Why is that? You just don't want to, you're not interested in anything?
You know, to be honest with you, I really don't know. I travel for work and so therefore I'm just so busy and I have a lot of goals that I set and I just don't find that room for anybody to get in those goals.
Don't you feel that later on, though, a little bit? I mean, I'm not trying to say you're doing anything wrong or anything, but don't you feel like a little bit later on that you might be like, well, you know, I'm missing out on something at your younger age, as opposed to sitting back and waiting until you're 60 and ready.
I partied a lot when I was in my 30s.
Okay.
And, you know, and I dated a lot, and now I'm in my 40s, and I've got, like, these little goals that I'm setting that I love reaching, and I'm like, what's the next goal? Let's shoot for that.
Got it.
All right, that makes sense.
I got a cat.
How about a new tattoo?
I got a cat.
It's a good goal.
Well, that's their goal.
Okay, so Tinder is good for you too?
No. I tried Tinder and I did not like it.
Okay.
So I did not like it. But Facebook has been like a 90% opportunity for dates.
I think that's so interesting about people. You know, I've other friends that have told me this, like that they're like, oh yeah, I meet people through Facebook. I'm like, how do you meet people? I thought it was just like who you were. Like, I mean, I thought it was just friends with who you were friends with.
They just say hi.
That's how everybody meets.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody meets on Facebook, and then you can click on the person.
Think about it, though. If Facebook was actually a public thing, I mean, it is a public thing, but I mean, if Facebook actually was not on computers or people, you know, hiding behind screens, would they actually come up to you and ask you out? No, they wouldn't. This is their opportunity to get the courage out behind the screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've asked guys like that. It's like, would you actually ask me out if you actually saw me in public?
Like, God, no.
You know, majority of them would say no.
Yeah, but women complain that they're sick of going to bars, and also women don't like, some women said they didn't like being hit on in bars.
Yeah.
And then it became the deal of guys stop doing it as much. Maybe we're not alpha anymore, or it's always the wrong guys hitting on them. And then women started lamenting the fact that they don't get hit on in a bar.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I mean, there's plenty of beautiful women out there that say, I never get hit on.
Yeah. I mean, how do you answer?
Well, and I always think it's interesting when, like, I'm married and I have a wedding ring and my husband's married and he has a wedding ring. And I always think it's so interesting when people approach, you know, like in a very presumptuous, it's like, you know, I'm not wearing this to, it's amazing. Like the people that just completely discount the fact that you're wearing what would be considered pretty significant jewelry, you know?
And I think some people are attracted to it. I mean,
yeah,
it's just,
I think,
flirting.
Some people just like the, you know, like to flirt, like
some
the challenge
flirt
of it.
And it's homeless and or harmless. And some women wear a fake wedding ring. Single women wear the ring
to get like a guy to be like, oh
no, as a shield
to get him out to maybe stop him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, as a backup if it's you're not interested.
Right. Like, oh, I wish, but I'm married. Oh, my God. Oh, my. If I didn't have this old ball and chain around my ring finger.
Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Well, actually, I called to talk about the Apprentice last night. It was real something funny I saw that Arnold Schwarzenegger did. When he had all the women in front of him, the guys were excluded out of the meeting. This one woman, I think she was a project manager or something of the project, I guess, and they were all dissing on her, saying, oh, well, the project manager should get fired. She just kept talking and talking and talking, and Arnold couldn't get a word, you know, in, and he looks over to, was that Patrick you said?
Yeah.
And he said something in German to him about how much she's talking.
Oh, really?
She's like, she talks too much. And then he's like, you're long-winded.
And Patrick was like, I don't understand German either.
I don't either, but I just thought that was funny because he was talking about her in front of her.
Yeah, that's not cool. Was it Carney Wilson from Wilson Phillips?
No, it was the really pretty black girl. I can't remember her name. It's driving me crazy. She was
Layla Ali?
Yes.
Okay. So, all right.
I always think that's so cool.
She was just talking and talking and talking, and Arnold's like saying something in German that she's talking too much. So
I always think that's so cruel when people do that and they know that you don't understand. Like, it's one thing when it's like, I don't speak your language, so I'm not being intentionally rude because I mean, all I speak is German. But I think it's so cruel when somebody's like intentionally speaking about you in another language in front of you.
How do you know?
Yeah, but don't you always assume?
Yes.
Don't you always assume?
I've had my nails done.
I mean,
what? There's a lot of problems.
My sister told me there's a salon in Lincoln that the owner.
I mean, we know what you're saying.
Tells all of his nail technicians that they cannot talk in their language.
If they speak of a different language, yeah.
Well, that's difficult because, I mean, there's some people where it's like, that's all you speak. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Like, if that's all, I mean, and you're not talking about me, you're just communicating and that's the only language. But when you have an option to speak, to say exactly what you're saying, where I can understand you, but you're choosing to talk about me so I can't understand you? That's not nice.
It's The Apprentice and they're fired.
Hi, Matt, you want to talk about intimidating. So you talk about meeting people and then when it becomes online to a date, over the break, I had a first date or meeting a girl out.
Okay.
In the safety of her friends.
Yeah.
And it was really sweet. She was great. But sitting across from us, so I'm sitting side by side her, meeting her in person for the first time.
Yeah.
After chatting, and her friend across the table, one of them is hard of hearing, so they're signing. And then the other friend is signing everything we say. And we're all for having a conversation.
Yeah. And that's
interesting. I'm kind of like intrigued by meeting her, but I'm also like really intrigued by the two across the table. And but you're immediately the person in an elevator thinking they're
talking about us.
But they were talking about us.
Okay.
Oh.
I mean, you want to talk about first date, first meeting pressure. It was like everything I say
was
had to be signed.
Yeah.
And then her reacting like, oh, that's really cheesy back, you know.
Oh, no.
That's awesome.
You correct your spelling. Oh, wait, that's not how you spell that.
Oh, yeah, man.
It was good. It actually was cool.
All right. Thanks for calling, and Happy New Year to you.
The Big Party Show. On Omaha's number one hit music station. Channel 94.1.
Well, if you were wondering what the most stolen movie of 2016 was, in a word, Deadpool. It's the most pirated movie of the last year. Came out in February. Biggest opening weekend for an R-rated film in history. Ryan Reynolds, I guess it was illegally downloaded over and over. It was still the sixth highest grossing film of the year with a box office take north of $780 million.
What'd they lose, though, in those pirates?
That's what you wonder. I mean, if it was $780 million and it was the most pirated, think about all that money walking out the door. It could have been over $1 billion.
I mean, that's bad stuff. Yeah, and, you know, like, we're, listen, I'm no angel. Right?
I'm no angel.
But it is bad. And, you know, most of those are coming from foreign, you know, they're doing that on purpose to try and gut our industry, you know, the movie industry. Yeah. Like, foreign governments don't go after them. We in the United States, you know, will prosecute you.
Yeah.
Foreign governments don't. They're like, yeah, screw them.
Whatever. It's not our money.
And it really, a lot of it is China.
Yes.
China. They're so bad. They're terrible. Stealing our movies, Deadpool. I saw a pirated copy myself. Very good.
That was a good movie, though.
It was
really good.
And that was kind of a movie that was going to, you knew it was going to lend itself to the pirated market because it's kind of cool, kind of like nerdy tech guys that can go into the deep dark web and rip that thing off.
And it's all these torrent sites, you know, that do this. And this was a list put together by Torrent Freak. Pirated copies of the American superhero film first appeared in early February, triggering millions of downloads during the months that followed. So even today, thousands of people are still actively sharing Deadpool, even though it was almost a year ago that it was, you know, first released. Following Deadpool, the second most pirated movie of last year, Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice.
I can't get through that, really.
Really? I actually really like it.
Yeah. Everyone does.
I was surprised.
I don't know. I'm like, why?
I can't
fighting?
Get over Lex Luthor.
I can't either. Jesse Eisenman.
I
can't
have Jesse Eisenberg. Jesse Eisenberg.
He grew on me, and I like him in some movies, but this one was just that.
I like his voice. I don't know. There's something about Jesse Eisenberg's voice that's like very soothing to me.
And Batman to me Superman to me just seems boring and one-dimensional. Batman wasn't bad. I didn't mind Batfleck.
I know. He didn't do a bad job. He didn't kill
it. But don't you think Star Wars or Superman was kind of boring?
Yeah, but I mean, Superman is boring.
Yeah,
I mean,
but he could rip the arms off anybody. That's why I'm like...
But he just doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing about, like, I've never really been a huge fan of, like, the Superman. Or even, like, I saw the trailer for the new Spider-Man movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where he's a little kid.
Boring.
Keep doing that.
I can't.
Yeah, I didn't realize Superman had such laser beams.
Yeah.
I mean, he really uses the eyes to shoot flames.
Oh, when he gets mad, they turn red.
Yeah, gets all crazy. He's from Krypton. Captain America: Civil War, Star Wars: The Force Awakens, and X-Men: Apocalypse were round out the top five of as far as pirated
movies. And how much pirated will Rogue One be?
Oh my!
Can you make one pirate proof?
I don't think so. I mean, the person who figures out how to data encrypt that stuff.
No,
will probably be like, you know.
Like, this isn't a camcorder in a movie theater. These are perfect digital copies.
Yeah.
I mean, there were perfect digital copies of Deadpool and the Star Wars from last year. Which one was that one called?
That was The Force
Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
The week of.
Yeah.
We're in people's hands in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yep.
But it's like you're saying, it's illegal markets. Like, a lot of them you see, it's subtitled in... You know, Chinese or something like that, because they're like, they're the ones that are like totally ripping the data and then just go ahead and, you know, send it. The touring industry had a fantastic 2016. They're saying the 10 worldwide tours, the top 10 worldwide tours grossed $1.6 billion.
Is that like Broadway stuff or what?
No, this is the biggest one was Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, cool.
$268 million bucks.
Wow.
Worldwide tour. Beyonce, $256 million. Coldplay, $241 million. Guns N' Roses, $188 million. And Adele, $167.7 million. Justin Bieber, Paul McCartney, Garth Brooks, The Rolling Stones, and Celine Dion. They round it all out. But that's a lot of cash. Those tickets are not cheap. But I guess it's The Boss, who is the number one worldwide tour of last year. So, which I thought was interesting, that he outsold like a Beyonce, but maybe he just played more. I don't know how that broke it down per stage.
Seems like he goes viral after every show, jumping in the crowd and letting an old lady sing like half of his hit songs. I think, and every time I'm like, I would go nuts. I'd be like, enough of grandma. I bought a ticket to see you, Bruce.
He's amazing in concert, though.
Have you seen him?
Absolutely. I saw him at the CenturyLink.
Okay.
And is he constantly pulling people up on stage and letting them sing with him?
Or is that,
it just
that I don't remember.
Song or whatever.
Mean, it was just, I thought, how does this guy have any gas left in the tank? Yeah. Like he's one of those performers where it's like, it's almost like the old James Brown. Like somebody probably had to help him off stage. Like, I can't do another song.
Hardest working man in show business.
That is your celebrity news update on Omaha's number one hit music station, Channel 94.1.
Replaying all day on your smartphone, mobile device, and at channel941.com.
The Big Party Show podcast from Omaha's number one hit music station,
Channel 94.1.